Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Elite Assessments call with a guest, Heather, who we messed up on our last call and didn't get hers recorded. So we're going to get to have you in here to work on your stuff as well. So thank you guys for being here. However long we need to go, we'll go. I'm not going to leave anybody hanging. I mean, we're not going to go to midnight. Let me just tell you right there. Not really? Doing that. Amen. No. But you know, if we have to go to 8 or 9 o'clock, we'll go. We'll do whatever we need to get through everything. I think we scheduled it till 9 or whatever, but if we finish early, we finish early. So I just want to make sure everybody gets what they need from the call. So Heather submitted an RSVP and has some questions and things she wants to go over. So I'm going to open up her line. And the way that this call is going to work is that whatever you need to work on, it's called assessments. And you know, if you have particular labs that we've already gone over that you want to go over again, if you have new labs, if you have filled out your paper and pen assessments and you want to review, what does all that mean? Or even like I think Lynn Lowe said yesterday, can I review my supplements list? I'm like, sure, whatever. So whatever you feel like you want to go over that you need more clarification, that on our shorter calls, there's just not that time. And you know, it's more like, it's like a series of private calls all in one. So let's get started with Heather. And Heather has, I had it right here. Whoops, that's not the right one. There's so many of these things open. There it is. Heather, I'm looking back at your questions. Do you have questions about Dutch? Celebration is daily meditation. Yes. You know, it's interesting. Using Ziva. I know her. I've been meaning to try her stuff. I've been listening to the book called Tiny Habits, and in Tiny Habits, it says, start with little itty bitty habits. And that's your baseline. And even if you get to the point where you're doing a lot more, if you have a day that you're short, you just do your baseline and you can celebrate still. So I realized that was something that I had set up for myself about, 3 years ago when I decided I'm going to meditate, and I got my muse. And if I just do a minute a day, I'm good. And there are days, you know, most of the days I do 10 minutes or 15, or some days I'm even doing 20. But when I'm in a hurry, if there's something like my alarm doesn't go off and I have something to get to, I don't get out of bed until I've done my meditation. And if it's 1 minute, it's 1 minute. And then I can go, yay, I meditated. And I have my little muse that tracks me at 985 or something days straight. It would have been more, except one time before I got in that habit of morning, I was doing it in the evening. And then it got to be 1205 and I realized, oops, I didn't do it. So I lost my track. But you know, it's just those little bitty habits that are great. And if you're doing the meditation, and yeah, they say you have to do an hour or an hour and a half, and you go, if I do a minute, I'm going to celebrate. Then you just keep the habit going. You keep the habit going. Same with exercise and everything else. So I made a new tiny habit thing for myself that I am going to do 30 seconds of plank and 2 push-ups. I'm just going to do that. I want to get it right first thing in the morning, but I should be able to do that in less than a minute, right? And it's easy. So this morning I said, okay, I'm starting it today. So I did my 30 seconds of planks and I did 5 push-ups. And then it was like, way to go. You know, like, I don't have time for more, I'll go. But it's the kind of thing that it just like, it builds on itself. You know, I can do 6 or I can do 2, 3 or whatever. But if I just do the 1 or 2, I'm successful. So I think we all have to create ways that we be successful. So
congratulations. I am so proud of you, because sometimes I do such baby things that it doesn't seem worth thinking about. But if they aren't small, I won't do them. And so I like to start small. I just do one lap.
Absolutely. Around. And here's the thing you need to do, rather than thinking, oh, it's not worth anything. He says that every time you do it, no matter what you do it, you have some way you celebrate, whether you pat yourself on the back or you go, yes, or you do way to go. You do that and it reinforces in your subconscious that this is good. So even if you do 1 push-up against the wall, he said, do 1 push-up against the wall. You're successful at exercising that day. And it builds on itself. And then if you get to a point where you're doing, you know, 100 push-ups, but today you only have time for 1, you're still successful and you kept the habit going, right? It's just such a good philosophy. I absolutely love it. So I'm going to open up your thing again, and should I open your test and share my screen?
Sure, you can share it.
Yeah. Okay. So you said, I'm curious about how the Dutch pathways reflect my genetic predispositions. My original test interpretation was low. Okay. My integrative doctor would like to see my T4 get better conversion, but thus far not reacted well to increased dosage of
the T4. Mm.
But that's not the way to address it. You want to address the pathways. So I right. will. Yeah.
Yep. And that was the part that when I wanted to go back through my genetic lecture with you, that was the part that I felt I needed to hear a second time to really understand it. And so I, looking at the Dutch, that was where the questions came up. And I thought, I bet you can pull this together.
Yeah, I can. I've got it. I've got your Dutch open, and then I'm going to share once I get the other one open too. I've got your Dutch, and then I'm going to open up your genetic. That would be in your main folder. So that's
in, yeah, it's in my main folder.
Health tracker, call notes. Yeah, I think the main folder is probably the best bet. You don't have to put all of these things in here. Just extra work, Heather. Blah, 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 blah. Angelica. if you just put the main folder, I'm good to go because I can find everything from the main folder. I mean, unless it's a specific lab test that they want to, that's okay to put in there. But.
Yeah. All right. That makes it way easier.
Awesome. Way easier. Just need, yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah. All right. So genetic report at a glance. Oh, you created your own. Let me open this one.
Yeah. There's the one from Genetic Detox. I've got that one that you're used to using.
Yeah. You got that, but you also did your own little, where'd it go? Yeah, you also have your own little version of it that you supplemented. So then the Genetic Detox report. Okay, well, I've got that open. So I've got all of them open, and now I'll share my screen. You don't want to see my messy screen when I don't have everything open. Okay, so I'm going to start with the Dutch test, and then we're going to go back and look at it comparatively. So share screen, Dutch. All right. So the things that would relate more to your genes would be the estrogen page with the all those different detoxes. But we talked about this. Did we talk about this already, that you have very low adrenal function here?
This was a year ago, but no, we haven't talked about
okay,
my
so this,
Dutch
we haven't
at
talked
all.
About it. This was a year ago. Okay, so you haven't gotten a new one.
No.
Given all the work you've been doing, let me see what I see in here, and we'll see if there's anything that I would recommend from here based on your genes that you aren't doing. And if not, if there is, then do that for a couple months and get this retested. If right. not, then let's just get this retested to see if all the stuff you've done, because you've done a lot over the last year, has brought a lot of this into line. But this, you know, to me, when I look at this and I look at the low cortisol, and metabolized cortisol is on the low normal, but the free cortisol is very low. And it kind of says to me, you're making a lot, but you're using your free cortisol. You're either using a lot of it up, like boom, you're making it, but it's like there's all the stress and this is what you're doing to react to it. Or the clearance pathway is overactive. But given that that's still in the low normal range, if that was real high and the cortisol free was low, I think there's something wrong with that pathway. Why are you getting rid of this versus, you know, making it into the active form? DHEA is low here too. So definitely you've been, this says adrenal stress pattern. You've been there for a long time. You've been using up your cortisol. You were probably in an alarm state before where you were just like using it like crazy. And now it's just getting to the point where it's slowing down. When we look, so let me go here for just a second. The cortisol and the cortisone patterns are both very similar in that they're both very low. So the free cortisone is more like a storage form of it. So it's like, there's not a lot of storage here, right? There's not a lot of room for continuing this pattern. When I look at your estrogens, oh, this was a year ago, so a little different format. Oh, wait, am I looking at the wrong page? No, I'm looking at the right page. There we go. Low progesterone. And So this pattern, you got a lot. Were you taking any estrogen at this point? Were you taking
yes.
it? You
yep.
were. Were
yep.
you, what were you taking?
I don't remember the amounts, but it was a cream.
Okay, a prescription cream or an over-the-counter? Yeah.
Compounded.
Compounded. So it was probably an 80-20.
That sounds right. Okay. And I know that she's changed that. My integrated doctor changed that.
Okay. It was a biased or a triest? Probably biased.
Biased.
These numbers, yeah.
Biased.
Okay. So your estrone is in a range that's high for postmenopausal, right? But your estriol is super high. So what we usually will do is we'll look at the total of estrone and estradiol, and that's 16.16, and that should be equal to or less than the estriol, which it is, but your estriol is super high. So there's, you know, no reason to do this. Now, what I'm concerned about with estriol being high is that it's going to get converted to a higher level of 16, but yours hasn't. Yours is, it's at the high end of the, now it's at the middle end of the range, 15.8. So it's not even high. I would guess that you are low in iodine.
Okay.
Iodine is one of the cofactors that converts the estriol to S16. And given how high your estriol is, there's, it's not getting converted to the 16, which makes me think iodine.
Okay.
So are you still on the biased?
She has me on different formulations, the progesterone, the estrogen, and then also some of the testosterone.
Okay. Was that as a result of doing this test that she put you on it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing with testosterone. You've got high estradiol, which seems to me that you're converting your testosterone via the aromatase. Oh, wait, aromatase says it takes it here. No, we'll take it here or here. That your aromatase is overactive and it's converting your testosterone to estrone. So sometimes when that happens, when you give people testosterone, and there's in this pathway where the aromatase is high, you go back and test and the testosterone is still low, but the estrogen's through the roof. And we had that happen to one of our male clients, right? Not fun, right? Taking testosterone for testosterone. And the next thing you know, you have female levels of estrogen, not a good thing, right? But it's, again, it's throwing this off. You are way out of the range for a postmenopausal woman, right? And this is the proliferative estrogen. So this would make you more prone to proliferative type diseases like breast cancer. The good news is though that your 4-hydroxy percentage wise is okay, right? That's here. Percentage wise, it's right. 11.7. No, it's actually over. Sorry, I was reading the wrong column. It's higher. I like to see that at the low end of the range. I'd rather see it 7.5 because that's the dangerous form of estrogen.
Right.
Right. So, you know, and this CYP3A4 might be, let me look at your genes. Do you remember if you have a CYP3A4 SNP?
Yeah, it's yellow.
It's yellow. Okay. Got it. All right.
Oh, sorry. CYP3A4 is green.
It's green. Okay.
Yep. It's green.
Okay. So the genetics isn't playing into this. At that, as far as that's concerned, what about the 1B1?
The 1B1 is green.
It's green. Okay. All right.
But the other one is yellow.
The 2A?
The 1A1?
Oh, the 1A1.
That one's yellow.
Yeah. That one's yellow. So... that one's a little slower than you'll have. Yeah, that would make sense with this. So when I look at your 2OH, you see you're at the higher end of the postmenopausal, the purple.
Mm-hmm.
On the 4OH, you're even a little higher than that. Mm-hmm. So you see where the 4OH is a little higher in that high end than the 2.
Yep.
And then the 16 is super low. So my guess is that since this is working real well, the 1A, 1B1 genetically is working well, and this is sluggish, you're pushing more of your estrone down the pathway to the 4-hydroxy. Mm-hmm. And in somebody, a typical postmenopausal woman who is not on supplementation of estrogen, what we generally see is that all of these are low, so I'm not real concerned when the ratio is skewed because there's just so little of it, but right. Yours isn't, it's not true in your case. So the actual amount is a little higher. So I would be looking at, but the good, well, on the positive end, the estriol is high and estriol is protective. So it may be balancing all this out. I'm not 100% sure on whether that high level of estriol is problematic because I've never seen it before. Usually people are low in estriol, right? And we're looking at mm-hmm. supplementing them with just estriol, not even biased, to bring them back up. So, you know, I'm just going to do a quick search on, is there a danger to too much? And how long have you been on the bioidenticals?
Since 2014.
And the symptoms that caused you to go on it?
It was sleep disruption, poor sleep, still some hot flashes, and then low libido.
Mm-hmm. And did it help?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, because you've got the estradiol of a premenopausal woman.
Wow. Well, that was then. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah.
Like I said, that this was a protocol that I didn't stay with after, when did she change me? In October.
So she changed you in October. So this was done a year ago.
Yeah.
And did she change your supplementation as of this test?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when she, just because I started with her. When I went to her and I brought her this, she looked at this and said, can I make a different formulation for you? And I said, yes.
Okay, so you had this done by a different doctor a year ago.
Right.
Did they adjust it at all? Did they adjust your prescription after this?
So this was done by a naturopath. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to the integrative doctor in Sacramento, and she looked at this, one of the first things that she did was wrote a different prescription.
But I'm just curious.
She was actually waiting. I'm due to have the retest, but we're kind of waiting for me to get back into public life here in California.
Why is that? Because you don't need, you just get the test and you send it into the lab.
Oh yeah, I could.
Yeah
I'll ask her about that.
No blood draw. Yeah. So she gave you your new prescription based on this, whatever, 6-month-old test. And
right.
Then you've been on that since October. So yeah, I think it's time to switch it out and get a new test. So I totally think it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you've done a different prescription since then, there's a good chance that this is different. Do you know what the changes were? Did she lower...
Off the top of my head, I don't. It may be in my tracker. I may just go run and get it. I could tell you.
Is it in your tracker?
I think I might have put that in the tracker, but I can.
Okay, I'll look in your tracker. That's
but cool. I can quick look too.
Oh yeah, you quick look and whoever gets there first.
Yeah.
All right. So. So this is labs. Okay, go here. Master Health Tracker.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
It says PBET 50-2.5.
TBE.
PBET. Let's see if I can.
PBET, okay. 50.
Oh, I don't see me. P TBET 50-2.5-0.5 mg/mL.
I'm not sure the nomenclature. It doesn't say estriol
cream
22. It does, because let me write it down and see if I can make sense of it. TBE 50.
P is in Paul, B is in and the word bet. Yeah. P bet 50. Where's the translation for that? It's probably in my medical stuff. I think I put it in the tracker.
All right, let me look in the tracker. I've got the tracker open. So read it to me. P B
E T
T. Okay. Uh-huh. 50.
Uh-huh.
And then
dash
the other numbers. Yeah.
2.5.
Yep.
Dash 0.5 mg/mL.
Okay.
And then Victor Pro CR.
VC Victor Crow, it says?
Pro, PRO, like professional PRO.
Okay, PRO. And then it says what?
CR, like cream.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's the name of the cream. Okay. That's the base, probably.
Right.
I'm pretty sure if it's a biased, it looks like it's a 50-50 biased, is what I'm going to guess. That it's 50-50. And that would be better because your estriol was so high. Usually it's 80-20, but I'm concerned about the both. Maybe, I don't know. I'm going to look. I'm just guessing.
I found a compound medication in my online. It's estriol colon estradiol,
mm-hmm.
80:20, 2.5 mg/gm milligrams per gram.
Yeah.
Plus progesterone, 25 mg/0.5 grams, plus testosterone, 0.5 mg/gram to apply topical, 1 mg daily at bedtime.
Okay, got it. So the P, progesterone bias testosterone. That's what PBET means. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, okay. All right, so and estradiol was not what was high. It was, all right. Estrone. So they took out, there's no estrone. It's estradiol. That was the low one. That makes sense. If it used to be estrone and estriol, you know what I'm saying? If it used to have estrone and estriol, and now it has estradiol and estriol, that would make sense with what I'm seeing here.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to get it tested again. Progesterone makes total sense. The testosterone, hopefully, we really want to do it again and see if that testosterone is actually pushing up your testosterone or if it's pushing up your estrogen. So I wouldn't have let it go that long. If she replaced it in October, I would have preferred to see it checked in January at the most.
She would have liked to have done that, but instead we did the, we did the Nutrival.
Okay.
So that we could bill Medi-Cal.
Okay.
So if Medi-Cal isn't going to cover it, I'll just go ahead and cover this one, even though it's expensive. Because I agree with you.
It gets to the point where it's just putting you in a precarious situation. The Nutrival is nice, but it doesn't relate. I mean, it relates to the nutrients and it has the oat test in it. It's great test. Your alpha reductase, you're tending towards a little bit higher on the alpha preference. So if you increase the testosterone, this is where you have to look. This is why I have an opposition to just people testing it in blood, because if you just up the testosterone and you look at the testosterone, it looks fine, but you don't know if you're going more towards this DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which is a dangerous one, versus the regular. So right here, you're relatively balanced, but a little bit of a preference towards 5-alpha. So I'd want to make sure that this testosterone is you know, being active as testosterone and not moving down into the metabolites that can be problematic and the estrogen. Right. Right. So it'd be great if this 2.9 goes up to, you know, 4.1, 5.1, 7, whatever, and then these settle down. The other thing you look at when, if not, then you want to look at the aromatase and the aromatase inhibitors, not a drug. You don't need a drug, but aromatase inhibiting nutrients, zinc, GLA, which you'll see if you have a balance of that in the NutriVal, and salt palmetto is another one. I usually go with the zinc and the GLA first because they're nutrients, but salt palmetto can bring that down as well.
Right.
And nettles, another one. Nettles are really good aromatase inhibitor. And that's good for your bones too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my questions was just trying to understand from my genetics, since this pathway coming down, the CYP1A1 was yellow, and then COMT was yellow.
Yeah, so the COMT, we're not seeing that being a problem.
Okay.
Right, because your methyl E1 is actually a little bit higher than your hydroxy. So see where it says your methylation activity is actually on the high side.
Okay.
So that COMT is not inhibiting you. This doesn't seem to be too bad. I don't see the genetics playing, you know, like some horrible role here.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's probably the piece I felt like I couldn't understand on my own.
Yeah. So probably, you know, the two would be a little higher if you didn't have it. But I mean, really a yellow is a 20% decrease in the activity here. So I think that's fine. I mean, this is not a scary pattern. It's just, it's kind of scary because you have a highish number. Like the ratios are a little high for the four. And so I'd like to see that better. DIM, I don't know about DIM, but maybe some extra broccoli sprouts and things like that are going to push you down towards the two more than the four.
That I can easily do.
Yep. And avoiding caffeine, which I think you already do.
I do. Yeah. And I do grow my own broccoli sprouts. And I didn't know why I kept thinking it was such a good idea to do broccoli sprouts, but they taste good.
They taste good and they're protective and these are the pathways that they work well in. Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? You asked about melatonin.
Yeah.
And melatonin is at the low end of the range. Are you having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep?
No, it's staying. It's sleeping duration. If I do wake up in the night, that's not that often, but it was 6 hours of sleep was my average. And with all of the stuff that I've been doing in the sleep module, I've managed to get it to 7.
That's good.
But when I tried to cut the melatonin out, I just couldn't do it. I just would keep
waking up. Oh, you are on melatonin.
Yeah, I have a sustained release at 3. It's 3 milligrams between the tincture that I take, which has 1, and the capsule that has 2. It's sustained release. But every time I try to adjust that, I end up not either sleeping long enough, or I wake up. And
did you go on that melatonin after or before this test was taken?
After.
Okay.
That was the naturopath that looked at that and said, I think you need to supplement it.
Then I'd stay on it. There's a couple of reasons. One, they're finding that melatonin is actually protective right now with this virus thing.
I saw that.
It's protective against breast cancer, and you've got a few SKUs in there that I don't think there's a problem. I'd continue it until we see what the next test shows.
Okay.
Okay. And don't change anything significantly before you get the next test done, because then we get like a skewed idea. We don't know if what you were doing was working. So keep the same level of your cream, your estrogen cream, your progesterone, that whole cream. You know, sometimes it helps to separate the creams. I know it's harder when you want to take it, but it helps to separate it because one of them might get better before the other. But you can't like pull it out of the cream. It's already in there, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. And at least, you know, there's timing things too. So progesterone is better taken it. When do you take your cream? Morning?
At night, actually.
At night. Yeah. So progesterone's better at night. Testosterone might be a little stimulating at night. And estrogen usually is better in the morning. So go figure, right? Are you taking it all through the month or did she have you rotate it?
No, she had me do it every day.
Yeah.
Tried doing it with the 25 on and five off, but I didn't sleep well on the five off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, because the creams are together. So when you're going to space it, you'd usually want to start your progesterone is days 10. Usually what we do, I think around day 10 or 12 to the end of what would be a cycle, right? So mm-hmm. rather than the 5 days off with all of it. And then the estrogen, let me think I remember this one. Estrogen we often do throughout the cycle.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, just keep taking it the way you've been taking it.
And you said estrogen was AM and progesterone was PM.
Usually it's estrogen. And testosterone, you know, it varies, but most people take it in the AM.
Yeah.
But you've got it all in one cream. Just keep taking what you're taking. And then once, if we see what happens next time, if you still need it, if you, you know, can we separate it in case, like if one gets skewed higher than the other? You know.
Okay. Good thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then let's see your B6, MMA, all this other stuff is fine. The these might be related to genetics. We can look at that. You're above the range on your dopamine metabolites. And that's dopamine and this is more epinephrine, but do you have, let me look at your test page. There's a whole page full of different dopamine ones. Do you have a tendency towards lack of motivation, depression?
Anything like that?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't see lack of motivation for you at all. This is actually, the more research comes out, the more we're thinking that the COMT, the heterozygous is actually better than green because it's a balance between warrior and worrier.
Yeah.
That one's related to dopamine. Yeah, you have a little bit of dopamine, but not terrible.
Yeah, most of the stuff is in the acetylation pathway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're not experiencing symptoms there, I wouldn't worry about it. Let's see what happens when you do the NutriVal and get the results back of that and see if the, on the organic acid tests, they have more detail on the dopamine serotonin.
I have that one.
That's, you
do? Also, yeah, you have that one. Let's see. Was January.
January? Okay. Mm-hmm. Whoops. NutriVal. Oh, what order are these in?
Wow, well, it's probably down there at the bottom.
Okay. Dutch test. I don't see NutriVal. HOB, GI effects, Dutch, Cleveland Heart Clinic, GI effects, Genova, NutriVal, here it goes. We need to come up with like naming conventions so that we put the name in the lab and then like some of them in the lab first, some of them it's one of those things I'm terrible at. But I like it when somebody's good at it and it gets it's organized.
Cause yeah.
Right. All right. Let me go down to the Dutch part. Here we go. Malabsorption markers. You have a lot of yeast and fungal markers in here. Did anybody remember this with you?
Yes, she did. My integrative doctor did. And then
what was the recommendation?
She straight up did all the recommendations at the beginning. The supplements we went through, and she added all the supplements the way they recommended them.
Okay, so she went by there. Okay, good.
Yep.
And
we could talk about the pathways and the blocked ones on the right side of that chart, the Krebs cycle chart.
She did talk about it or didn't?
Mm-hmm, she did.
Oh, good.
And that seems to me that again, my acetylation pathway, it seems like that's connected to that.
Yeah. Well, acetyl is right here. That would also be reflected in.
That's why there were all those red ones.
Yep.
Blocked ones there.
Right. And then the acetyl-CoA is, if you look at your Dutch test, that's not the right one. Yeah. This chart here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, I don't know if they show it or not, but cholesterol, here's where acetyl-CoA comes in. So B5 is oftentimes helpful. Helping move things down from cholesterol. Is your cholesterol tend to be high?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking B5, if you haven't already started any of that.
No, I did. Yeah. High and dose. You had said also that when you looked at my genetics, I remember you saying that I probably was going to be one of those people that never did necessarily have low cholesterol numbers.
Right. Because you had the other, you had some of those markers. But I would be doing the B5 because the B5 is important here.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at this one again. Yeah. So the neurotransmitters are, the HVA, pyrenic acid, and quinolinic is related to serotonin. That looks okay. Which, given your melatonin was on the low side, that, you probably, unless your B6 is low, do you remember if you have a B6 SNP?
Which one is that?
That's towards the end.
Yeah. I've got my alphabetized one with me. I always have the wrong one.
Yeah, it's the NBPF3, and yours is yellow, so a little bit of low. So you probably have to pay attention to that.
Oh, there it is. Yep. Yep. So it's going to be one I'm going to just the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, your numbers looked good. Your carinate, whatever, the various markers on the Dutch and on the oat looked pretty good. So are you taking B6 now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was one of the things that she had me add. In fact, my B... she had me add 50 milligrams, and when I take my zinc, it's with the B, and at that point, I get 100 milligrams.
With the B, it has B6 in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been sort of hitting this with the zinc. I have to get that. I still have to get the liquid zinc. Haven't done that yet, mm-hmm. So I've been hit and miss with the zinc.
Get the one with the tally. At least get one. That's more expensive to take. I usually do, zinc tally from, say, Premier Resources,
right.
Or assay or something, so you can do the testing. And then the other one that's less expensive to actually take would be like Good State, or if you tolerate it, Trace Minerals Research is a good bang for buck. But a lot of people, it's so strong that they get nauseous from it.
Yeah. And I have been taste testing, and I'm still not really tasting zinc, and I'm not tasting any iodine.
Okay, then that's
the iodine.
There's no B6 to B5 on this.
Mm-mm.
Huh. Well, functionally, I think B5 is important, and of course, B6 here. It's interesting that,
I know I've got it in my.
Interpretation, I guess. Here we go. see, digestive, mitochondrial. Oh, it doesn't talk about the neurotransmitter ones. Yeah. And your GLA, let's see your GLA here. Racketonic, dihomo. Camelinoleic. Yeah, you're on the low side there. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful to increase.
Is that the alpha lipoic acid?
Mm-mm. It's GLA, linoleic acid, and it comes, you can get it in hemp seeds.
Okay.
It's borage oil, black currant oil, and evening primrose oil.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else? I could spend hours looking at this, but you've already gone over it. So I want to just address your specific questions.
If I remember right, I think you've got them all.
Okay, good. Let me look back at your list here. Is melatonin supplementation warranted? We talked about that.
Yeah.
I see my T4. Okay, so here we go. Integrative doctor would like to see T4 better conversion, so not reacted to increased dose. So you can't increase the conversion just by increasing the T4. I mean, you could, but you really have to address the real problem, which is the conversion, right?
Right.
And the conversion is going to get better as your adrenals get better, because if your cortisol is either too high or too low, that conversion is going to be low. It's going to get better as your gut gets better, because 25% of the conversion happens in your gut. So if you have messed up gut, you're losing some of it. Liver support, you know, and supporting those pathways, that you don't have a lot of them that are messed up genetically, but, you know, all the stuff you're doing is supporting your liver. Because that's important in that conversion, and also selenium as a nutrient.
Right.
I don't know if they tested selenium in this one.
No. I don't know, but I've been adding it since we talked about it.
Yeah.
So it seems, as you talked about it, you had, my understanding is the chemicals I'm sensitive to, I don't detox those well. Things like drugs or what, and I don't take extra drugs, and I don't drink hardly at all any alcohol anymore. I mean, I used to have wine with dinner. Now it's just a rare occasion. So I've eliminated a lot of the things, and then I've increased use of the sauna. So I'm just trying to figure out if I can't, you know, detox some of this stuff out of my system for a while and see if that helps, because that's the one piece I couldn't address from the genetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the sauna is great. I think just eating foods that support the liver,
right,
and, you know, the dandelion and burdock and all those sorts of things to help support that. Of course, minimizing exposure, which you're doing. And then I think selenium we talked about. So I would say those are the things that are going to make a difference in the T4 to T3 conversion, and supporting your adrenals. So we talked about elixirs and, you know, adding some adrenal support to supply, you know, adaptogenic support to support your adrenals.
Right.
And that B5 can make a difference as well.
Okay.
And C, talked about that already. Yeah. So I think you're on the right track. I'm a big fan of going back and retesting after 3 months or so, just so you don't like keep going down a path and think you're on the right track and find out that you're not, that you need to adjust things slightly.
Yeah, it's much more optimum to have the feedback. And like I said, this was the first time since I've been doing your classes that I could look at this Dutch test and begin to make heads and tails of it.
Yeah.
And I got just enough. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much information in here, but
I'm still
not quite grasping it. So thank you.
Yeah.
I've got a good
get it done as soon as you can, because you've been addressing it for a long enough time that I want to make sure that you're on the right track. I mean, my goal is to get you off of any kind of hormone supplementation. Is it possible?
That would be,
but I'm always a fan of let's get it, you know, okay, T4 isn't converting to T3, not give you more T4, but increase the efficacy of that pathway. Right?
Yeah.
It can't always happen, but, you know, darn well better try. Okay.
Thank you. Good. Yeah.
You're welcome. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop recording and then I'll start it again on the next person. So I'll hit stop.